Good morning, Patriots. In another great day, another just a great day. Every day is a great day. Every day. Doesn't matter. You know what? My favorite days, seriously, is when it's like I wake up and it's really heavy with clouds. And then the rain's coming down. It's cold. And the wind's blowing. It's awesome. And then, like, you wake up and you're waiting for sunrise and it's not sunrise because it just stays gray. I know people are like, oh man, I need the sun. I'm like, please bring me the rain. Matter of fact, bring lots of rain. Lots of rain. We want a storm is what we want. I truly love storms. Oregon coast has some of the most incredible storms you'll ever see. If you've never been there in a winter storm, you've got to put it on your bucket list. You go out and you stand on the beach. You have to be a little careful some places because there's a thing called a sneaker wave. It has this nasty little habit of like coming out of nowhere and hitting you and pulling you into the ocean. It's probably not a good idea. But all that said, there's always a risk. But you have to go stand on the beach and just feel the rain and feel the wind and hear the crashing of the waves. It's epic. And it's such a moment when you feel the true power and the hand of God in such an amazing way. And it's beautiful. I think the ocean is one of those places where we're reminded of just how perfect, how incredible our Lord is. Just truly just a place where everything is absolute perfection, even when in what seems to be chaos. Just watching the waves and watching, especially in a storm, because you just see all of this motion and what seems to be chaos. And yet it's not. It's not chaos at all. It's absolutely perfection. Find a storm. Go stand in a storm and enjoy it. It's part of where we are and it's part of our life. You know, I was sitting here this morning and I decided I was going to read just for interest because I can't remember the last time I read it. It was Proverbs 17. I'm like, oh, let me just see. And as I read Proverbs 17, which we're going to read through this morning, it's quite a little insightful passage, verse. It's really about us, and it's about this journey of duplicity, which we're all currently in. It's the choices. And I really see the moment that we're in if we're going to use that number, which seems to be appearing everywhere, and that's not because we're looking for it, it just is. It is truly at a juncture point that we find it. And this place where we're walking is a choice between returning or moving forward. It's a choice of going back to a way that's built on strife and conflict, or a way of moving into a future that is built on respect and love and infinite opportunity. And the more that I dig into scripture, it just seems like it's, and these are easy things for me to say, because when we start to look for something, we find it. And that, so there's always a little bit of confirmation bias going on when we read through it with a certain lens. But in fairness, I kind of play around with it a bit as reading Proverbs 17. And it's like, okay, is that really what I'm seeing? But when you read this, as we're going to in a moment, it's this constant back and forth through Proverbs 17 about choices. And that's, to me, reading through it is exactly where we are. We are in a place where every step we make now is part of this duality, and it's right before us. We can choose to accept a lie, or we can choose to fight for truth. We can choose to live under a lie, or we can choose to pursue the walk with God and live under truth and the love of Spirit. And those two pillars, the love of Spirit and the pursuit of truth, which we can say faith and knowledge, but it's more powerful in the sense of love of Spirit and the pursuit of truth, because faith and knowledge are founding principles of building ourselves, but in our walk, as you have these two key, perhaps we call them banners of life, as if you're following like in a battlefield. But what's amazing is that if you really hold to that, and in everything we do, never excluding myself from the challenges that set before us, because there's many, but when we sit that walk and we never deviate from love of spirit and the pursuit of truth, life gets pretty simple. It's not a complex environment. It actually clears up, and it's so clear that there's truly a right and there is a wrong. And seldom does that ever fail you. Let's begin with Proverbs 17. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children in their fathers. Fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. 8 caught me this morning as I'm reading through this line. That's line 8 of Proverbs 17:8. And it just reminded me of all this nonsense that's going on in Wall Street right now. And it's all about greed. And every one of these is the duplicity of choice of what our life is. It's a constant balance of us choosing. No path gets to be simple or clear. No path is easy. Life is not intended to be that way. And as we walk clearly, it's kind of like there's a favorite trail I have that I'd love to when I go fly fishing, which, just so I say it, I've not been able to fly fish for about 5 months. I think we can finally fly fish again, thanks to our Antifa terrorists who try to burn down about 200,000 acres of forest. But the beauty of that whole thing is that the forest is in a restorative mode now. So it's regrowing. And it's, again, it's kind of this duplicity, right? And it's the perfection of the way God does everything. And so as frustrated as we are with the damage done, the glory that comes out of that is God shows us that even in the destruction of something, there's renewal and rebirth. As in the storm in the ocean, that even in the midst of this chaos, the most incredible forces you can imagine. And when you really think about the force of the, especially on the Oregon coast, and it's just one of those places that's unique because of the rugged terrain and the intensity of the ocean. In fact, as the histories go in Oregon, in the early settlement of Oregon in the late 1800s, and even into the early 1900s, Oregon was primarily supplied by shipping traffic that would come into the coast. We had many small ports. Now we have a couple, but I mean, shipping traffic was a main way of moving goods and services to Oregon. And what's amazing is it was something like 30% of all of the ships that came to Oregon sunk. Imagine that. I've walked into some places where there's still like pieces of wreckage from ships from over 100 years ago. It's incredible. And it is amazing just how incredible the Oregon coast is and what it took as a spirit to be there. And in the midst of all of this craziness and all of the risk, it's almost like you could feel the captains. It wasn't just money, because you don't just do something for money. not when you have 30% chance of losing your ship. It's the adventure. It's the partaking in that moment of chaos to seek that, to experience, literally, God's perfection. That's kind of a poetic rewrite of probably what most captains would look at me and go, dude, I don't even know what you're talking about. And that's okay, because history has a funny way of putting a different lens on life. Let me continue with Proverbs 17. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from the house. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? All of these are the balance of consequence. And I don't know that enough in our modern day, I don't know that we live enough with consequence, with the reality of consequence. The military has a term of looking at the second and third order effects of things, meaning that every time you take an action, you consider what's going to happen in your second, in the response to that, and in the response to that action. So it's second and third order effects. And sometimes you even go further. And when we consider our life carefully within those frameworks, we start to realize that each action we do has reciprocal actions. And then we start to factor in what those actions are. We tend to slow down. We tend to work things more judiciously in our process and take more care in each of our steps. That's part of the place I think we have to return. And this is not to be nostalgic or to be anti-modern or anti-progress, but instead to embrace the glories of the things that we have in the evolution of technology and the creations of tools to improve our lives, but to take them with more caution, with more pace, to embrace them, to slow down and to breathe and to let God flow as he will in all that he does in this amazing time in which we live. Continuing. If anyone returns evil for good, and evil will not depart from the house. The beginning of strife is like letting of water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? That's a powerful phrase when we think about the way God works in our lives. And it's as we blunder along and then we look for things to happen, be it empowerment of our gifts, blessings to come our way, there's a part of this of responsibility that each of us have in this walk. And it's not just that we return to God, but we have to walk responsibly in that place with God. And there's a maturing. Maybe we call it trust. It's not exactly a correct term when we deal with God, because God does trust us and love us, but there has to be a place, in my opinion, where we demonstrate that we are truly sincere, maybe that's the right term, in our walk, that we aren't going to be pulled away and cast left or right, that we truly embrace that. And as we do with that walk, and we walk carefully forward, and we are more committed and more vigilant in that path of truly love of spirit and truth, I believe that the blessings come more easily because we've let go of the influencers, and therefore, as is said in Proverbs 16, why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? We have to grow our wisdom in with the gifts that God gives us. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born of adversity. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Whoever loves transgressions loves strife. He who makes his door high seeks destruction. A man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. The discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. To impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for the uprightness. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. The power of what we say, the power of how we are in the world, the way in which we live is all intention. And they are not separate, and they are not just acts that just occur simply because we want to, we do, we simply is. We have to, I believe, truly live in a way of true intention, that every single thing is intentional. I had an artist friend who every day, every meal that they would make, they took time to create literally I don't even know how else to say it. It was artistic perfection in the layout of everything, no matter how simple it was on their plate. And I asked one day, I said, what drives you for that? And they said that every meal, no matter how humble in their view, should always be something of beauty. And it was all about intention. That to me is how we need to live in everything we do. If every single thing we do in our life is walking in that path of spirit and love of spirit and that line of truth, it's a life of intentional living. We can stand in the middle of the storm and we can see perfection in the middle of that because we ourselves are truly walking that path of intention. And when we commit to that level of focus in our life, truly that every breath is part of God and every breath is that perfection of step. It's not that we become perfection, it's that we become intentional. And with intention, we are working forward, leaning in to that place where God is so powerful and so gracious and so giving. We aren't worried about next week. We aren't worried about 6 years from now. They're all things that are truly in God's hands, not our own. Instead, what we're focused on is maximizing and embracing fully the moment. Take time. Take time, not just to, and this is my morning thing, so I share it. I probably share it too much because I do truly love coffee. I enjoy the process. But take time to really enjoy every part of the process, not just the cup. Take time to focus on the grinding of the bean. Take time to focus on the water that drips through the grinds. Take time to enjoy the aroma that comes from the brewing of the coffee and the sound that it makes, no matter what it is, whether it's an automatic drip machine or it's a French press or a hand press or an espresso machine. Take time when you pour your cup to reflect on the perfection of the color that's in that cup. Take time to take in that first sip and then every sip after that. Every sip after that. Enjoy the continued experience. in economics, they use a term of what's called marginal propensity to consume. And what that means is that, in short, our first sip, our first bite, our first experience of something is the ultimate moment. And everything after that is a diminished return, meaning that we don't enjoy it as much. And I think that's, in a marketing sense, that's exactly what you want, because that means you can sell more of something. But it's such a tragedy when we embrace such a thought like that. It's such a crazy experience where we literally are losing the moments that go by between that first experience of whatever we do and, say, as we consume a meal, that last bite. Every moment that we have, if we embrace it fully for what it is and appreciate all that's in the moment, we are living with such intention. Quite frankly, the world literally stops. Nothing else matters but where we are. And with that love of spirit and that walk of truth, the line of where we walk becomes so clear that even when we get rattled by a hurricane or rattled by a tornado that comes sweeping into our lives, whatever that looks like metaphorically, hopefully not physically, we're able to reset ourselves, because it's truly about coming back to a center point of breathing in that one breath, that pneuma moment when we're returned to that place of love of spirit and love of truth and truly walking with God. We're not perfect, never will be. We can strive to be. We all know that we're flawed. And I truly believe it is never, ever the worry for God. Matter of fact, I would argue that he enjoys the experience of watching us stumble, not because he wants to see us fail, but he loves the pursuit of what we try to achieve in the perfection, especially in this perfection of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. But it's like a father that enjoys watching a child grow. And we accomplish that greatest moment when we are walking with such intention, keeping in mind that there's consequences for what we do. Times we stumble big, other times stumble a little bit, but other times we excel in such ways that we could never imagine. Love of spirit and love of truth and the pursuit of truth. And when those two come together, there's not a complication anymore. With all that we've been through in the last 5 years and where we arrive now, there's really a pretty simplified field. And I'm discovering this in the people I encounter and what goes on in the world. And again, not to try to oversimplify too much, but when we really get down to that place again, is if you're walking in that place with intention, with the love of spirit and the pursuit of truth, whatever's going on in this world out here is almost seemingly a little more distant from you. You're not affected. Again, it's the storm that's not knocking you off your feet. And the more that you walk there and then you engage those that aren't, those that are still, and even fellow patriots that are trapped in this theater of the absurd, you're in an amazing place to reach across and to help them into the path here of love of spirit and truth. Because once we step across there, all that other stuff just kind of goes off to the corner. We can watch it. Matter of fact, it's probably more entertaining than a Super Bowl. And I don't watch football anymore. Haven't for years. But it's an amazing place to be and to share and to bring people to, because it's literally that moment where all of the control elements, all of those things that are trying to twist you, turn you, put you into conflict, they all go away. There's a huge difference between walking in the love of spirit and the pursuit of truth than walking with some sort of artificial, propped up hope of things that we have no control over. When we walk with intention, when we walk truly with God and in our perpetual line of truth, it's a walk of peace. It's a walk of calm. It's a walk of agape. And quite frankly, there isn't much in your path that can knock you off your feet. Very little, if anything at all. So take time. Take time to breathe. Take time to slow down a bit. Find those moments, not your whole day, but give yourself time every day to slow down and appreciate every moment. To appreciate the glory and beauty that God brings in. Enjoy everything that's there and be intentional in the walk that we do. As we are intentional, we transform a world around us in ways that we can't even see. God doesn't work by lightning bolts. God is like the wind and moves through us and through everything around us. And in doing so, worlds transform. Literally, we move mountains from here to there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we share each day. Time to come together and to reflect deeply on your word and the walk that we each make. Lord, give us strength as we move forward. Give us that patience, Lord, and the care to take time to appreciate your perfection in all things around us. Let us see the details. Let us appreciate all that's around this storm in all its chaos and all its perfection. May we walk with a walk of true love of spirit and true love for you, and to never deviate from that line of truth, knowing that as we do, we truly right our ship, sailing it into a storm, no matter what its state, in an ocean of unknowns, and truly a commitment to faith. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So, Patriots, have a blessed day. I'll be back in 30 minutes for, I believe we are on Federalist Paper number 8 today, if you want to tune in for that. But until then, or whenever that next time is, head up, eyes forward, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. Above all, pray and know that God always wins. He will not forsake you. And he will always deliver. God bless, and out for now.
In the night we were wild, we were golden. Sparks and embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're riding your hand. The show.